Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Nearly 400,000 jobs have been lost in North Carolina's restaurant and hotel industries because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The halting of most travel and closing of dine-in service at restaurants has devastated the state's approximately 18,000 restaurants and 1,800 hotels. Lynn Minges, president and CEO of the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association, says the industry desperately needs help from the General Assembly in addition to any federal emergency relief that may come to these businesses. Minges recently talked with News and Views producer Clayton Henkel about the challenges and how you might be able to help.
Well, Lynn Minges, thanks for taking time to talk with us on News and Views.
Sure. Thank you so much, Clayton.
Set the stage for our listeners. When we talk about North Carolina's restaurants and hotels, how many businesses are we talking about? How many workers are we talking about?
Well, the North Carolina hospitality industry is huge. It comprises a workforce on a good day of about 550,000 North Carolinians, and that accounts for about 13% of our state's workforce. Across North Carolina, there are 18,000 food service establishments, restaurants. Most of those are closed today, certainly closed for dine-in service. There is nowhere in North Carolina today where a consumer customer can walk into a restaurant and sit down and have a meal. So thinking about the scope of that, 18,000 statewide are closed. There are a few, about 30% of those are operating essentially on life support with drive-throughs that are continuing, some curbside service, and some delivery. But outside of that, 18,000 businesses are essentially closed.
Yeah, and we should be clear that allowing curbside pickup and delivery does not serve as a substitute for the volume of business that these places had before.
Right, we're pleased that we were able to, carve out restaurants as essential services. Governor Cooper and his team have been extremely helpful in doing that, recognizing that, our food supply is safe, and that's the one thing we can certainly count on. So, allowing folks to get out, stay in their cars, pick up food that's safely prepared and overseen by the public health department every day, is certainly a nice thing. There are many folks who feel safer in their cars, not going into grocery stores and other retail establishments. So having the takeout food service is certainly a big plus, most for the customers we serve, but certainly for those restaurants who are able to at least continue to employ a portion of their staff.
Well, let's talk a little bit about solutions. The North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association has asked the General Assembly for a $100 million emergency grant program. How would this work? How would it help?
Well, we're finding that most of the businesses that are impacted by this immediate shutdown just weren't weathered or weren't positioned to do this. Many of them plan and prepare for downturns in the economy. We've all known that that might be coming sometime. But when they were ordered to shut down essentially, abruptly on March 17th, they've really been reeling from that and just aren't positioned to sustain. Many of those businesses that have closed will not come back. Many of them have already said that, and others, as this thing continues on, will likely not come back. So what we're trying to do is to establish a fund that would allow restaurants and hotels to receive a one-time grant, not a loan, but a one-time grant from our state, that would allow them to continue to pay the bills, to pay their rent, to make basic payments, so they are more likely to be able to open up on the other side. Their overhead costs are fixed, and, they're not able to make those payments. And so, unless there's some mechanism for them to be able to do that with no cash coming through the door, we fear that many of these will close forever. So we're asking for $100 million grant fund from the government. There are some other states who have done similar kinds of things. During this situation, we would encourage those grants to be used for things like rent and payroll on these limited staff that are able to maintain utilities, vendor payments, they've got to continue to buy food and those kinds of things. Likely, the money would have to be administered by some entity of government or a nonprofit and would be given out in increments of, let's say, $25,000 to $50,000 to a larger establishment and based on a lottery system. And so that's really what we're asking for. And short of that, we're going to see a whole lot of those 18,000 establishments on the restaurant side, 1,800 hotels, not come back. And so, we need that immediately. There are some federal relief programs, but the dollars just aren't enough to save these businesses, and the dollars aren't to save these small businesses. So our state really has to take some action to try to save these businesses that are so much a part of the lifeblood of communities, small towns and large cities all across our state.
And as you noted in that legislative briefing, some of these businesses had interruption insurance, disruption insurance, but that has not been paying off.
That's correct. Most of these businesses purchase and pay for every year business interruption insurance that pays for, you know, things that might happen, a fire or other reasons they have to shut down, a hurricane that hits and disrupts their service for some period of time, a flood. They pay for the business interruption insurance to cover situations like this. But what we're hearing across the board is that the insurance companies are denying the claims because they say that pandemics are a carve-out or an exclusion to this kind of insurance. And so, you know, that's proving to be a huge hit to businesses who, you know, count on this kind of insurance to keep them solvent during times like this, but apparently don't seem to be working. So we're looking for a solution to try to force those business interruption insurers to pay, if that's possible. And not sure how that relief may come, but we're working all angles at the federal and state level.
Another recommendation you've made to the legislature is the suspension of the requirement that hotels and restaurants prepay their estimated sales tax liability. Tell us more about that.
Well, these businesses across the board, you know, from large hotels right down to small, you know, mom-and-pop restaurants on Main Street, are all universally cash-strapped. They were abruptly closed. The insurance isn't paying. They have fixed overhead costs. And so what we're trying to do is ask for any kind of relief that might allow these businesses to retain the cash that they have in their bank account as long as possible to pay some of those immediate bills that they have due, not to take away the tax. They still have those tax obligations, but to defer the tax payments. And so in some cases, we've been able to successfully work with the North Carolina Department of Revenue to get those tax deadlines extended without penalties. They still accrue interest, but they're not facing penalties. So that's encouraging. But in some cases, as I understand it, sales tax is paid in an estimated way and in advance. And so many of our members in the month of April will have to prepay the taxes, the sales taxes that they expect they will receive in March. And they base that, they have to pay 65% of that sales tax that they paid last year in advance. And so, you know, we already know that they're not going to, you know, realize the same level of sales in May of this year. And so we're asking for some consideration of a waiver of that estimated tax payment on sales tax that might be due. Just desperately, honestly, just desperately looking for any kind of solution that would keep cash in the hands of these business owners, so they can continue to limp along until some of these federal relief programs and other grants and loans may come available.
Another creative idea you had was allowing establishments who can pay their employees during the interim period and not lay them off, that they be reimbursed from the North Carolina Unemployment Trust Fund rather than unemployment benefits being paid to the employees. Tell us how that would work. Is the idea that those employers would try to keep the employees on the payroll as long as they can?
Yes. So since this pandemic has come upon us, I have literally talked with thousands of restaurateurs and hoteliers across our state, and the overwhelming concern the first thing they overwhelmingly expressed was concern for their workforce. They operate with teams who deliver excellent, you know, customer service every single day. You know, if you think about it, restaurants have good food, but it's the people who serve you that bring things to you, that deliver quality service, that create that experience that makes that restaurant so appealing to the customer who frequents it. Same thing on the lodging side. You know, it is the guest service, the guest experience that creates what consumers pay for and expect when they enter a lodging establishment. And so, you know, many of our hotels and restaurants are doing everything they possibly can to retain their workers. They don't want to let these workers go because it's so difficult, as they know, to bring those teams back together who work intuitively. They work side by side. They anticipate every need. They solve problems on the fly. And so some of our restaurants and hotels have asked if the legislature might consider allowing them to retain the workers. They're willing to pay their full salary, to pay their benefits, and many of them do have health insurance, paid leave, other benefits. They would like to explore the notion of maintaining those employees, even at a time they don't have business to pay them. But if they could get the portion of funds that employee would be eligible for under unemployment, that would help to offset their hard costs. Business owners are among the most creative, innovative I've ever worked with. And I think that's a great suggestion, a great win-win solution to trying to keep people on the payroll, keep offering benefits, keep people employed, and at the same time, you know, not tax our state system any more than it already would be.
The Restaurant and Lodging Association has testified before one House committee on this issue. Talk to us about how quickly this needs to happen. Lawmakers are coming back April 28th. That's a ways off. How quickly would you like to see these recommendations adopted?
We need them to act now. We're already 3 weeks into this, and our members are hurting. Our restaurants and hotels are really hurting. Some of them are telling me that they're making payroll on their credit cards. I mean, this is a dire situation. Unless action is taken now, it's going to be too late. We can't wait till April 28th. That's not a realistic way to try to save these businesses. Many of them will be shuttered and gone, and they will not be able to come back. So we really are urging lawmakers to come back and at least take some swift action on some of these immediate relief measures that are taken. We understand, you know, the logic of taking their time and looking at the federal programs and then layering in relief packages. But on some of these things, we just can't wait. We don't have that luxury. So we need to, we're calling on legislators to return to Raleigh to take some swift action, like the recommendations that we've provided them. We have shared these recommendations with every single member of the North Carolina General Assembly. We have had personal conversations, obviously virtually, remotely, but we've had conversations with nearly every member of the General Assembly, as well as with the governor and his team. You know, we're doing everything we can to try to save North Carolina restaurants and hotels, and, you know, that's our job. These are the people we work for every single day. We expect them to be heard and supported.
You know, and there may be some listeners who are wondering right now how they can help. Tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Restaurant Workers Relief Fund.
Absolutely. So, you know, we know that about 350,000 workers who, you know, are employed in the North Carolina hospitality industry, both in restaurants and hotels, were displaced suddenly a couple of weeks ago. And many of them are in the process of filing for unemployment insurance. It takes a long time. They're backlogged. The money's not coming, but we're hearing from our workers, and they have bills they need to pay today. They have groceries they need to be able to buy for their families, and the unemployment insurance just isn't coming fast enough. And so our members stepped up and created a North Carolina Restaurant Workers Relief Fund. It's actually eligible to hotel workers as well. And we are receiving donations from corporate entities, from individuals, from other nonprofits who are generously making contributions to that fund. And we're accepting applications from some of those displaced workers and awarding grants of just one-time gifts of $500 to those workers to help them meet their immediate needs.
And folks can learn more about that fund at ncrla.org?
Yes, they can go to ncrla.org and click on our relief fund to make a donation or to apply. However, right now the need far exceeds the amount of money we have to award, so we would appreciate any small gift that your listeners could offer.
Well, Lynn Mingus is the president and CEO of the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for helping to share the message. We appreciate it.
Coming up next, how do you provide shelter, meals, and medical care to a community in the middle of a public health crisis? We'll hear from Dr. Peter Morris of Urban Ministries about the efforts of his organization to do just that.